The World This Week, Politics.
During a visit by Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's Prime Minister, to the White House, Donald Trump suggested that the 2 million Palestinians in Gaza should be permanently resettled in neighbouring countries and that there should be a full American takeover of the Strip. Mr. Trump said the enclave could be developed into the Riviera of the Middle East. Egypt and Jordan retorted that they would not host displaced Palestinians. The UN warned deportations would be tantamount to ethnic cleansing and breach international law. Saudi Arabia rejected the suggestion and reaffirmed its support for a Palestinian state. Mr. Netanyahu said the idea was worth paying attention to. Israel's far right welcomed the plan. Mr. Trump issued an order reinstating his maximum pressure campaign on Iran by enforcing sanctions aiming to reduce its oil exports to zero. Ahmed al-Sharaa, the newly appointed interim president of Syria, laid out his vision for the country. In an interview with The Economist, he outlined a timetable for taking Syria in the direction of democracy and promised presidential elections, but was non-committal on the question of Islamic law and women's rights. He criticised America's illegal military presence in Syria and welcomed talks with Russia about its military bases. In Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, a humanitarian ceasefire declared by an alliance of rebel groups, including M23, which is backed by Rwanda, appeared to be breaking down. The capture of Goma, the largest city in eastern Congo, has marked an escalation in a conflict that spans decades. At least 900 people have been killed in recent fighting around the city, and possibly as many as 3,000. The rebels said they had no intention of attacking Bukavu, another city along the Rwandan border, and asked South Africa to withdraw its forces from Congo. The future of the US Agency for International Development looked to be in doubt after Donald Trump said it was run by radical lunatics and Elon Musk suggested he had the president's support to shut it down as part of his crackdown on government waste. Marco Rubio, America's Secretary of State, was then appointed as USAID's acting director. Its website was shut and staff were told to work from home. The president of Panama, José Raúl Mulino, announced that he would not renew an investment agreement with China. This came after a visit to Panama by Mr. Rubio, who warned its government to take immediate steps over what he said was China's influence and control over the Panama Canal. Mr. Trump repeated his threat to take command of the waterway, which would violate Panama's sovereignty over it. Mr. Rubio also visited El Salvador, where the president, Nayib Bukele, offered to outsource the country's prisons to America. Mr. Bukele suggested that Salvadorian gang members in the United States, as well as American citizens convicted of crimes, could be incarcerated in El Salvador's penal system for a fee. His crackdown on gang violence at home has led to a dramatic fall in murders. Mr. Trump signed an executive order banning transgender women and girls from participating in women's sport in colleges and schools. If educational institutions don't comply, they will lose federal funding. The order, which relies on existing equal opportunity laws, aims to protect all female athletic opportunities and all female locker rooms. The lower house of Congress in the Philippines voted to impeach Sara Duterte as vice president. Ms. Duterte has been feuding with the president, Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos, ever since their election in 2022. She has been accused of misappropriating funds and last year raised the prospect of assassinating Mr. Marcos. She denies any wrongdoing. The Senate will not hear her impeachment trial until June. Australia banned DeepSeek's chatbot app and website from all government devices and computers over national security concerns, though the government insists the ban is not linked to DeepSeek's Chinese origins. Taiwan has also prohibited the use of DeepSeek in government departments. A gunman shot dead 11 people at an educational facility in the Swedish town of Örebro, the worst mass shooting in Sweden's history. The suspect then apparently shot himself. Police said there was no ideological motive for the attack. The French Prime Minister, François Bayrou, used a constitutional rule to push the government's budget through Parliament without a vote. Arguments over the budget led to the downfall of Mr. Bayrou's predecessor, Michel Barnier, in December. Mr. Bayrou survived two votes of no confidence after the hard right and the socialists withdrew their support for the motions. Bart De Wever, a Flemish nationalist, was sworn in as Belgium's prime minister, leading a new coalition government headed for the first time in the country's history by a party from the hard right. Mr. De Wever's NVA party took the most seats in an election last June. In a speech to Parliament, he said his government's priorities would include a crackdown on migration and increasing defence spending. Norway's governing coalition collapsed in a row over implementing energy directives from the EU. The Labour Party is now governing alone and has appointed Jens Stoltenberg, who was NATO's Secretary General for a decade before stepping down last year, as finance minister. A general election looms in September. Armen Sarkisyan, the commander of a pro-Russian paramilitary group in eastern Ukraine, was killed by a bomb in Moscow. Russian media said it was an assassination. The SBU, Ukraine's security service, had recently described how Mr. Sarkisyan enrolled convicts to fight against Ukraine. In December, Ukraine admitted that it had killed General Igor Kirillov, head of Russia's Biological and Chemical Warfare Division, with a bomb in Moscow. In an unexpected turn to soft power, Vladimir Putin said a Russian alternative to this year's Eurovision Song Contest would be held in Moscow. Russia was booted out of Eurovision when it invaded Ukraine. Mr. Putin's revival of the Intervision Song Contest will feature contestants from countries like Belarus, China and Cuba. Unlike the often extravagant gay-friendly performances at Eurovision, it will focus on sober, traditional family values. North Korea could even make an appearance.